Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey, everybody, what is going on? Welcome, Wednesday edition, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. We are presented to you by our friends over at FanDuel.com. Again, a reminder over at FanDuel, get in the single entry series for NFL coming up this weekend. It is one of the best tournaments I think you find because, let's face it, it's multi-week, it's cumulative score, and, oh yeah, it's like $25,000. Of added value to basically the tournament at the end. So be sure to play that. We got two varieties for you, 5 and 50. And it's really a fun way to kind of play some single entry games over on FanDuel this NFL Sunday. Also, coming up on Friday, they've got their Alley-Oop. It is the big $1 million tournament, and that has a $1,500 buy-in, so it's not cheap. Chase some tickets. Got myself my own ticket into that, so I'm playing with the big boys on Friday, at least on a bullet for now, but I'll take a few more shots at it today. So they've got plenty of ticket qualifiers out there. I see a $5. They've got a $200 with a 17-man field paying out two tickets. So $200 might sound like a lot, but not that hard to maybe turn that into a $1,500 ticket into a smaller $1 million field. So thanks again to FanDuel, great sponsor of the show. Of course, I'm Dan Bock. Joining me, as they do Wednesdays, we've got Big T. We've got Hoop 2410, Mr. Mike Petta. What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Doing well. Just hoping you saved us a few dollars for tonight. I mean, after your big win last night, congrats.
Appreciate that, Hoopster. You know, it's nice to be on the winning side here. Not that I don't win, but it's hard. People don't realize how hard it is when you get into those large field tournaments. And took a second place in the slam last night. So big bunch of biscuits. Is that what we're supposed to say, Tony?
Biscuits.
I mean, biscuits or giblets, however you're feeling on the day. But, I mean, I was just telling the Hoopster last week, this Dan Bock, he's one of the best in the business at playing hoops. Not only are you the ambassador for just DFS in general, everyone looks up to you for the info and stuff, but you know how to play the hoops, too. The hoops is definitely your best sport. And, I mean, I cut my teeth listening to you talk about the hoops. So keep up the good work, my friend.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I love hoops. It's definitely one of my favorite ones to play and sweat and, you know, build in teams last night. It was what was interesting about last night's build for me. And I think I put, I have to double check, anywhere like 15 to 20 teams into the slam. But the winning team that I had did not have Anthony Davis, who had like 75 points, did not have Antetokounmpo, who had like 60-some-odd points himself. Obviously, it had Kilpatrick from the Nets. But it, interestingly enough, you know, obviously a lot of people, you want to get the studs into your lineup. But sometimes just trying to get that 30 spot across the board with a couple of 50 burgers mixed in, you know, can do the trick for you. And that's what happened yesterday for me, Hoop.
Yeah, it's, you know, pretty crazy. Like you said, you didn't have the guy that scored 75 freaking fantasy points. It's hard to imagine. But, yeah, like you said, sometimes a balanced approach can get it done in those tournaments because, you know, if you are jamming in the guy getting 75, you're probably going to have to take some chances elsewhere, and which, you know, would lead to some disappointing performances from some of those cheaper guys. But, good night. Good builds there for sure. Happy for you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, let's hopefully we can pass along some pretty good info to the peeps today, and they can, you know, have their own successful night over on FanDuel. So, fellas, nice slate here on this Wednesday, and you know, looking at some of the – let's just quickly run down the games in terms of what we've got on the docket today. We've got Kings and Sixers. That one's sitting at about a 206 out there in Philadelphia. That feels a little bit low to me, T. Like, I know that the Kings aren't playing that fast, but I would have expected that one maybe around 210. But Sactown, 5-point favorite on the road there. Still feels a little low to me.
Yeah, every time Sacramento, I feel like a total's low. I end up stacking or go heavy that direction. It just hasn't worked out so far this year. I mean, I don't get why are they playing so slow. It doesn't make much sense to me. And they've looked like a terrible basketball team for the most part. So it probably doesn't make sense to them either so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, they got the old Memphis coach. So I understand, you know, that's his philosophy a little bit. But, yeah, outside of Cousins, who's been fine, the rest of that team has been a dumpster fire for fantasy. So, but favorite on the road in Philadelphia. I should tell you how bad the Sixers are. Grizzlies, we'll talk a good bit about this game. Toronto minus 11.5 at home, 195 the total here. Again, everybody and their sister seems to be hurt or out for Memphis. And Tony, you took me to task this morning with a tweet that I put out. Basically just said a memo to DFS players, Andrew Harrison is not good. And you didn't appreciate that tweet, I could tell.
I mean, anyone that watches the March Madness and anybody a fan of the Big Blue Nation where I reside now would beg to differ. I mean, he's hit some of the biggest shots in Kentucky history, and he's looked pretty good this year too in limited time. I think he's better than you're giving him credit for.
He is terrible. He's shooting like 30%. He is awful. He's just not good.
He's under 4K also.
When talking about NBA DFS, can we please not reference shots guys made in college?
You're not allowed to play him tonight, Dan.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing you should know about how good he is was if he was actually a real good player at Kentucky, he would have actually left after his first year, let alone coming back and then being relegated to a bench player.
He was their best player for 2 years. He's just not an NBA, like, he's not an NBA superstar by any means.
He's their best player that they had in the 2 years he was there. I would beg to differ with that in his, like, 30% shooting percentage. Guy can't shoot.
He was for sure their best player. You're arguing that he was their best player for 2 years?
You think he's their best player?
He's not like – for those 2 years, he was their best player at Kentucky?
I would disagree.
Who was better?
I will go through and I will – just off the top
again,
of my –
Again, we're not talking about NBA players. We're not talking about how good they are right now. We're talking about then.
Why didn't he even start for the team his second year?
He did this year?
No, his second year.
He did start.
I thought he came off the bench that second year.
No, he didn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure he was their best player. Why is he taking a game-winning shot every game if he's not their best player?
Just to give you a context here, he played 25 minutes a game his sophomore season.
Which everyone did at Kentucky.
Shot 37% from the field, 38% from three-point range, averaged, get this, a whopping 2 rebounds, 3 assists and 9 points. Like, if that's your best player, then Kentucky basketball fell off a cliff.
They don't. They all play 25 minutes and average 10 points.
9-2-3. 9-2-3. That's your best player.
Just tell that to Wisconsin and Michigan and Louisville, who he had game winners on in the tournament.
Okay, well, he averaged 9-2-3 in college. He's not a good NBA player. I don't care what you say. But let's keep on looking at these games here real quick. Pistons-Celtics. Pistons back end of a back-to-back. Drummond ejected early in that game yesterday, 197. Boston favored by 8. OKC on the slate versus the Wizards. Obviously, point guard v. point guard with Westbrook and Wall. 212 the total here. Oklahoma City favored by 6. Bulls and Lakers. Lakers, big dogs here at 10 points on the road. The Bulls, 212. The Bulls also with the highest implied team total over their average, I believe, on the day at 5.7. They're right on par with the Hawks. Well, the Lakers on the flip side down 7.2 off their season average on their implied total here today. So just to take note of that. Let's see. We've got Minnesota and the Knicks, 211.5. Minnesota favored by 3.5. Mavericks and Spurs, 192, with San Antonio going on the road here after playing last night. Be on the lookout for some potential guys sitting on the back end of a back-to-back. Heat and Nuggets, 204. Denver favored by 5.5. Atlanta and Phoenix, 209.5 with the Hawks by a 5.5-point favorite. And then Blazers, Pacers, 215, highest total on the board, with Portland favored by 8. All right, Hoop, let's get into it. Point guard spot here tonight. You know, we don't have to tell people to play Russell Westbrook because the guy is a freaking freak of nature. 12-4, they're making it a little bit more challenging for us. But, again, it's a big enough slate. There's probably enough value where he's going to be chalk city again today.
Yeah, I mean, 12-4, yeah, a slight price increase, but and it's still not enough for what this guy's doing. I mean, you look at his recent production, and you're literally talking about a floor of essentially like 54-ish fantasy points in his last 7 or 8 games. He's just a tough guy to fade, and, you know, like you said, it's a full slate here, so the value is going to be there to go ahead and roster him. Like I said, just a super, super tough guy to fade at this point.
And then Wall opposite of him at 9-2. He got a triple-double last game, Tony. But is there a name for when you get a triple-double with 11 turnovers?
If it is, I don't even know how you can get that many turnovers in a game. Unless you're Westbrook and you have the ball literally all 48 minutes, like, I don't see how you can get that many turnovers. John Wall just hasn't looked good to me so far this year. I mean, his numbers have been good at times, but every time I roster him, I just feel like torture the whole time watching because the guy just can't shoot at all.
Yeah, typically I do like doing point guard v point guard sometimes on tournament lineups to try and get the back and forth shootout. But you're talking about like $21,000 in salary between these guys. I don't know if that's the path to winning here today. But, you know, as a standalone at 9-2, he's okay, but probably not my top play of the day. But let's get to the value real quick here. And, Tony, again, I was harping on you on Andrew Harrison. But, again, we've got to look at prospects of how much he's going to be on the floor versus his salary. I mean, he's 3.7K today. Are you going to make the DB declaration with Andrew Harrison?
I mean, I haven't, like, fully dove into the slate. I mean, I know I'm playing Rajon Rondo on FanDuel at 5,800, so I only have one spot left at point guard. And he's definitely in play, though. I mean, if he – or even confirm that he's going to get the start for sure?
I'd almost guarantee it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he starts for sure, I mean, I'm assuming they'll give him minimum 25 to 30 minutes. At 3,700, he's definitely going to be in consideration for me.
You know, Hoop, again, I'm not a big fan of his. I do understand the minutes, and I actually think, like, let's set ownership on Andrew Harrison today in this late. Like, I feel with Westbrook in this one, he's going to be, like, 30% owned. And I don't know if I can do it. I mean, I get it. He's cheap. But, man, 30% owned on this guy, he's just not good. What's your feeling on him?
I don't think it'll be – I really don't think it'll be that high because Westbrook's here. You got Westbrook here. Tony brought up Rondo, I think.
But he's a path to Westbrook, though. That's why I think his ownership's going to be so high.
Yeah, and then, I mean, even like Dennis Schroeder, who's been playing better lately, he's under 6K. I think he's viable. If Bayless is out, I haven't heard yet. Sergio Rodriguez playing really well at 4.4. So I don't think it'll be super high. You know, I'm with you, Dan. I don't think Andrew Harrison is good. I think he actually sucks. But the fact that he's right around the minimum, and, you know, I kind of disagree with Tony in the fact that he needs to start. I don't think him starting really determines his role. I think it's going to be, like you guys said, between 25 and 30 minutes. And this is a guy I actually might prefer for him to come off the bench, because if he does come off the bench, he's going to be the guy that kind of does everything. So, 3.7K is definitely in play. Is he a good basketball player?
No.
Good NBA player? No. But I'd still play him. That doesn't mean I'm not going to play him today, because the role should be there. I mean, between 25, 30 minutes with ball handling responsibilities, have to consider him.
I think he's over 30 minutes today, too.
If that's the case, then I think I'm going to start shifting back with Tony a little bit as a guy I definitely want to play.
I think he has to be. I mean, they've got – you look at all the injuries, especially if Vince Carter doesn't go today. They are absolutely hating it, because you've got Conley on the bench out. You've got, as far as I know, Zebo's still out. You've got Ennis. still out. I mean, they are really, really banged up. And
one disclaimer, by the way. I mean, it's early in the morning here. You guys got me going. When you said Andrew Harrison, I got to be – I'm always honest with the people, and I keep it real with them. I was thinking this was Aaron Harrison this entire time. I just now realized it was Andrew. This isn't even the good one. You were right. I stand corrected. This wasn't even the guy that hit the game winners. Aaron Harrison was the one that hit the game winners.
Well, I'm glad you corrected yourself because you know the Twitter, you know, the Twitterverse would have been all over you.
It just because it threw me off when you said, "What do I think of Andrew Harrison?" So I pulled it up closer and I was like, "That's not even the same one," because I was thinking it was Aaron this whole time.
At least he was a twin. I'll give you, you know, I'll give you the pass on that one.
That's always get him confused too at the school. I mean, they played the same. They look. I mean, obviously they looked the same, and I mean, they had the same path. So it is kind of a mistake, but I am glad I caught it though before the podcast went off, because I would have taken some serious heat
for sure. Let's say Bayless starts today. Hoop. He's at 3.7K. If Bayless and Harrison are both starters, who would you rather have today?
I think I'm going to go Bayless.
What do you think, T?
I'm definitely not going Bayless. I'm never playing Bayless, ever.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you look at it, the team total about 9 points higher, it looks like, for Philadelphia over Memphis in this one. The thing about
Bayless is actually awful, though. Like, if they played one-on-one, Bayless would lose every time.
Hoop, don't you love how Tony brings these, like, ridiculous narratives, like college shooting and one-on-ones into the conversation?
It all factors into decision-making. I mean, it all goes into one equation.
No way.
I'm actually – I think it's really close, because here's the deal. I think Sergio played pretty well the last couple games. I think he's better than Bayless. I don't know why Bayless is suddenly supposedly a starter. But I think I would definitely be hedging a little bit there, because I don't really love either of these two guys. Let's get to Rondo. T already said he's the guy he wants. Hoop, he is criminally underpriced on FanDuel at 5.8. He's hit like 30 fantasy points, I think, in like 5 straight or 5 of 6. It's kind of like the old Rondo from not that long ago. Matchup versus the Lakers is plus. You usually don't look at him as a cash game play, but I think today we have to.
Yeah, just getting into the flow with this team here, you know, 3-4 weeks into the season, and really getting comfortable with this offense, getting comfortable playing with guys like Jimmy Butler by his side. So I think this is the kind of production we're going to see. I think, you know, a safe floor to put on him is probably the upper 20s with 40 fantasy point upside. So at 5.8K, he's just too cheap.
Anybody else in the point guard position kind of stand out to you, Tony? That, I mean, you talked about some of the guys you like, but anybody else tournament options that catches your eye?
For sure, my boy. Well, we've all been riding a little bit, and we've talked about him on the pod a bunch this year. My boy Jamal Murray, I mean, he had one bad game. He's got a tough matchup against Miami tonight. No one likes to target Miami, but Jamal Murray will be 3% owned tonight. I think he's a great tournament play. I mean, if you look at his last 5 games, he's been basically over 30 for the 5. So you never know the minutes in Denver. So obviously on a slate like tonight, he's not a cash game play by any means. But I love him in tournaments at that price, 4.1. I mean, you're only going up 400 from those scrub guys we were talking about. And you get a little bit of upside with this guy.
What about you, Hoop?
I mean, Murray, I think more so for tournaments, the one concern there that I think Barton's going to play is questionable, but it sounds like he's going to play, so that should be a big hit to Murray. But yeah, the minutes in Denver, you just really never know, which is unfortunate because I think they have some good pieces there. I mentioned Schroeder. He's the other guy that kind of stands out at 5.6K, been playing better and gets a good matchup here with the Suns. I think we kind of covered everyone else. So.
Well, I think there's a few more. I think Dragic at 6.8. I know altitude in Denver is kind of a tricky place to play. But last game, you know, I think some of it's going to depend on, like, the status of Deion Waiters, if he's going to go. But, you know, he 55 fantasy points that day. I mean, I think he's a big beneficiary of getting Waiters out of that lineup, because he just, you know, jacks up 20 shots. And, you know, Denver's just a bad defensive team, I think, certainly probably all around. So I don't hate him at under 7K on FanDuel today. And then, let's see, there was one. Damian Lillard tonight. I mean, back at home against Indiana, a team is pretty questionable on defense too, Hoop. Like, D. Lillard and Teague, I mean, again, I don't like to play 21,000 for 2 point guards, but you can get Teague at 7K. You can get Lillard at 9.2. Like, I don't mind putting those guys against each other, especially Lillard. He's kind of a back and forth guy.
Yeah, that's what I say. Like, that's the one position where I don't mind, you know, going the 1v1 because those guys control a lot of what happens on offense. So if I'm playing Lillard, I'm playing Teague. If I'm playing Teague, I'm playing Lillard. And that is, you know, tournament-only type plays, I think, for me.
If Parker sits today, any interest in Patty Mills, T?
I mean, point guard is just too hard on FanDuel tonight because, like I said, I'm playing Rondo. Unless something major changes, I mean, I don't know what could change, but something with the rotation or something. I mean, he's a lock for me, and Westbrook's almost always a lock. So it's super hard for me to go down to a guy I don't like when I can just play those two.
Yeah. Mills, especially a low-totaled game there and still kind of iffy whether or not that's going to happen. I do think Santonio's going to play well because they somehow lost at home to Orlando yesterday.
That was a major, major stinker, too. That was as bad as it gets.
It was bad. I expect a good rebound from them today. All right, let's get
second with Kawhi yesterday, too, by the way.
I did.
25 you know. From Kawhi, and you didn't have Davis or Giannis, and you still got second like a true professional.
Like a true professional. I like that. To Hoop, let's get shooting guard here. On our price per point, on our projections right now, we've got Dwayne Wade sitting at the top at a little bit above KCP, who was – you know, tip my cap to him. He was part of the winning roster last night. The price on him does seem low at 6'9". Do have some blowout concern potentially here, but Chicago, you know, they aren't in a situation where it's a back-to-back here. What do you think of Wade?
He doesn't violate your old man rule?
I have certain stipulations. Like, if they've got, like, a little extended rest and they're cheap, I might consider him a little bit. But Wade, he still plays hard. Like, he doesn't play like an old guy. That's the difference. Like, Darren Williams plays like an old guy. Dirk plays like an old guy. At least Wade doesn't play like an old guy. So that matters to me.
For me, like, Wade has to be in, like, a perfect situation for me to even really consider him. Really, really cheap, which I don't think is the case here on FanDuel at 6.9K or in a game that I know is going to be super competitive. And I don't think that's the case here either. I think the Bulls kind of take care of business here. So for me, I'm just going to go ahead and play the better guy in Beal at 7K. I like Beal a ton. I think he's by far the best player on the Wizards, and he's super hot right now too. So I like Beal over Wade. But if that game does stay close in Chicago, I think Wade will have a fine outing there.
I'm a little worried about Beal with Oladipo defense here, T. You know, the 24, 23, 22, 26. Those are shot attempts for him in four of the last five games. And believe me, he's hit over 40 fantasy points in each of those. But Oladipo's pretty good on ball. Like, I don't know. I'm nervous about Beal today. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been on Beal pretty hard lately, but he did get a big price bump, too. I mean, he was in the 5Ks most of the year, and then he was 6,300 last time out, I think, and now he's 7K. So he's finally outpriced, I think, where he should be. I mean, I've always considered him like a low 30s to mid-30s type guy, which puts him right at value for 7K. But like you said, yeah, I never like to target Oladipo. I like to target OKC with Russ, obviously, because he just doesn't have energy on defense, but – but when you're targeting Oladipo, I don't like it near as much. But shooting guard is pretty ugly tonight.
It is.
I can't say I don't like him a little bit. He seems a little high-priced, but he does seem pretty safe to me, which is probably why the hoopster likes him.
I think 7K's – I think we'll be paying close to 8K for him in about a month. That's my prediction.
I predict you're wrong.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, he's the man there in Washington, I'm telling you.
Is this Hoop or is this CSU Ram we've got on the show today? Because I know CSU
this is not a Hooper take. This is bad for Hoopster.
I'm gonna. How do I win these giblets or whatever you talk about? Because I'm gonna say within a month he'll be.
That's a good question, though. You don't know how to win those jibbies.
Still trying to get my first taste.
But it's a rough position today. There's no question about it. I'll tell you the guy who I think stands out a little bit here when you break down matchup two, and the price came up a little bit on him. But Zach LaVine today at 6'2" against the Knicks, and they're really bad against the shooting guard position. Now, to be fair, they were good against Oladipo the other night when everybody was on him. But for the season, they're like 29th DVP, and I don't know. I don't mind LaVine here. I mean, 6'2" is a little bit pricey. It's up 400 from where he was a couple days ago, but he's been the best player. He's been better than Wiggins over the last couple weeks. I'll give you that. What do you think, T?
Yeah, I was looking at LaVine as probably my favorite guy just because of the minutes. I feel real similar to him as I do about Beal. I think they're both slightly overpriced, but I think they're both pretty safe because of minutes and shot attempts. I mean, look at LaVine's shot attempts. He's getting a ton of shots too. And even though he's 62, he plays just so many minutes that you feel like his floor is pretty safe with this many minutes.
Yeah, not sleeping on McCollum, too, at 7'4", if you want to get some certainty. Let's find value here, though, because, again, Westbrook's expensive. So where are you going on the cheap hoop?
Cheap guys that stand out to me, and you can take a look at those Laker guys with, well, Nick Young, I'm assuming, is going to be out for a while. Yeah. But injury looked pretty bad. So Clarkson's a guy I like, but he got a pretty nice price bump here. He's now closer to 6K at 5.7. So I'd probably just go ahead and take Lou Williams at 5K if I'm looking at the Lakers guards. Safe bet to play, 25, 26 minutes. And when he's out there, he's going to just be chucking the ball. And 5K, I'm fine paying that for him. On the real cheap, some names. Tony Allen, I think, is fine at 4K. He might get a couple extra minutes there with Conley out. Courtney Lee is a guy I always consider. I mean, low upside, but, typically does just enough to pay off his salary, which he's done in essentially five straight games. So I'm fine with him in that up-tempo game that should be high-scoring and remain close. This Magruder guy playing a ton of minutes for the Heat. Production hasn't been there, but he played 38 minutes last game. And if all those guys are out for Miami, I think we'll see him play, obviously, in the mid to upper 30s again. So those are the guys that kind of stand out to me as of now.
What about Richardson, 4,600? I mean, he put up a dud for everybody last time out.
Yeah, throw him in that conversation too. I mean, at 46, I'd probably just go ahead and take a shot on one of those cheaper guys. But it's still, he's a fine play there.
Yeah, Allen, I'm a sucker for Tony Allen. And you know what? He came out last game, and he had like 15 fantasy points like in the first quarter. And I was like, oh, yeah, got Tony Allen right. And then he just sat and scored like 17 the entire game. So, but he's a guy who doesn't have to do one thing to make value. One other name I want to throw out there, and he's been disastrous here lately, T, but he's a Kentucky guy. Any chance Devin Booker gets right? 6K on him, coming off a pretty good game against Denver last time out.
He's a guy I've probably got more wrong this year than anybody. Like, I play him so much because I just love the way he plays, and he's been terrible this year. But this is the night where I could see it because he feels a little too cheap to me. And even though he's been wildly inconsistent, the matchup's good, and I like the spot. I mean, I don't know if you could do it for cash. Like,
yeah,
I'd have a hard time playing him over LaVine or Beal in that same price range, in that same 6 to 7K range. So more of a tournament play probably, but I guarantee I'll have some shares of him.
Yeah, I agree. I think almost anybody on Phoenix in that backcourt is a tournament play because you just don't know how it's going to go. And, a guy like him has 40 fantasy point upside, but, it gives you the teens from time to time. But 6K, you look at some of his other salaries, he was up to 6.7 this season, so we're buying on him pretty low. And Atlanta, Kyle Korver defense, yeah, not good. All right, let's move on. Small forward here, and we'll let Tony get us rolling here at this spot. What do you like here, small forward?
I mean, the first guy that sticks off the page at me is the guy I hate so much, but he seems underpriced, is Wiggins. I mean, I haven't played Wiggins all year. I've made fun of Hoopster for playing him.
Don't do it.
5.9K, like, I never thought I'd see Wiggins under 6K, even though he struggled. Like, always in cash games, you want to find the guys when they're too cheap. And tonight, as scary as it sounds, I think he's actually too cheap.
That's cheap 5.9 there, Hoop.
Don't do it. I'm telling you. I've made the mistake many of times this season alone. This season alone, and you know it better than anyone, Tony. Don't do it.
All right. So
I might do it. Okay, wait, let me go back and
prep. Hoopster's going to have him in his cash teams tonight.
Let me backtrack a little bit. I might do it because, like Tony, the price is right at 5.9K. That doesn't mean I'm saying everyone should do it because it has not resulted in a lot of money returning into my accounts. I can promise you.
Yeah, I mean, small for as bad as shooting guard is, small forward's pretty loaded here today. Because I think if Gallinari is out, Wilson Chandler at 6'4" looks like a premium kind of mid-tier option for us. The guy I don't know about is Glenn Robinson here. You know, you look at his last two games, Hoop, 38, 39 minutes, great performances, but FanDuel, rightfully so, by the way, this isn't a dog on them, they jacked his price up 1,000 to 4.7, which is what they should do. Like, let's not wait around. Like, if there's opportunity changes around for players, let's price them where they need to be. So it is a decision, and I think it's a tough one for us today because the matchup is okay against Portland, high total here, but do we trust him 1,000 higher than he was just two games ago?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a perfect price for him. I mean, if he's like $200 or $300 lower, he becomes like a super popular play. If he's still the $3,700, he's 80% owned in cash. 4.7, it makes the decision tough. And honestly, I don't know what to do with it. I mean, you go from at 3.7, 3.8K where we're looking for like 18 fantasy points in cash games to 4.7 where we're looking for like 23, 24 fantasy points. Doesn't seem like a big difference, but it is. I mean, when you're counting on a guy to get 5 or 6 additional fantasy points, 4.7, it's a tough price on him, and it's one where I think as it stands now, I'm not building around him, but if I land on him, I might be okay with it, I guess, that type of situation.
Yeah, I just don't think we have to at this position today because I just think there's better, safer options all around. Like, he kind of maybe fits in that spot, but I think I just try and get myself off of that spot if I can because I think, you know, you've got Kawhi Leonard, who I actually think Tony's going to bounce back big here. I mean, that was an embarrassing loss for them. I think they're going to go on the road in Dallas and just roll this team, you know. So I like him a lot tonight at 8-4. And then you got your boy, I know, Jimmy Butler, one of your favorites, 9K tonight against the Lakers. Heavy price tag, but, like, he feels like 45 is a baseline for him tonight.
Yeah, the nice thing about these big spread, like, what'd you say the spread was in this one?
11, I think, in that one.
Yeah, we're sitting at 11, and we got one of the bigger totals of the night. The nice thing is you might not get peak minutes, but your floor is just so high in this matchup against the Lakers where, again, he might be slightly overpriced, but in cash games, like, I feel like 40 is a pretty safe assumption for him tonight, which is pretty good for 9K. So, yeah, I'm always going to like Jimmy Butler. If you can fit him, yeah, I think he's always a really good play.
Okay, here's the 1v1 for you. Hoop, Glenn Robinson or Mo Harkless, similar price tags on FanDuel today?
Oh, that is a tough one. I think I'm going to go with Mo Harkless, and you know, I'm not really too sure why, to be honest with you, but as it stands, I think I'd probably take Harkless.
Yeah, I think it is too, but I don't know if either of them are really the real answer here today.
I think Harkless is a real – I was going to say that when you guys were talking about Glenn Robinson. It's just – Harkless, it's a pretty good spot for him, I think. Yeah. And the late game, it's one of the best games of the day, and I think it's going to go super low on just because – it's kind of a tricky spot with Portland favored by 7.5 or 8. Last game of the night. It's going to go low owned for the highest total of the night.
I agree with that. I think there's a guy I like, and we'll get to him a little bit later. Let's get to Powell.
Yeah, I thought all the good players were at the guards.
There might be one more guy. We'll see. Let's get to Plumlee. What's that?
Not Plumlee.
Well, hey, let's just hold the audience in suspense, Tony, okay? We haven't gotten to the center position yet. We're at power forward right now. My boy Tobias last night picked it up monster game for him. And he's still underpriced at 5'3". I saw that number yesterday and was like, okay, we're buying low on Tobias Harris. Maybe not the best matchup, but at least Charlotte was 4-5. And we knew this guy had, you know, mid-30s to 40s upside, and yesterday he kind of hit it. Back into back-to-back on the road at Boston, not ideal, but the price tag certainly fits for him. So he's a guy I'm certainly looking to go back to here today. But, again, another spot, you know, we had, you know, some of the heavy hitters at power forward on the slate yesterday, Hoop. Today, not so much. I mean, is Paul Millsap the highest-priced guy we've got today on the slate?
Yeah, there's
him and Porzingis, I think.
Yeah, Millsap and Porzingis are both 7.5K. I think they're both fine options, but I think there's some good value here. Like you said, Tobias Harris is just too cheap at 5.3K. The one thing that, you know, the Pistons hold a lot of value for DFS purposes is the fact that you don't really have to worry about their minutes. If they're in a competitive game, their starters, you know, well, not all their starters, but guys like KCP, they're going to play, you know, close to 40 minutes, which we saw last night. 5.3K, 40 minutes. I mean, the chances of him, you know, completely busting are super, super low. So that's just too cheap of a price tag. Here's another guy I keep playing, and the results have not been great. Markieff Morris. I mean, now he's all the way down to 4.6K.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's a GPP option for sure, because you know he's got 35 in him.
He's a cash option for the Hoopster every day.
Yeah, he has been, unfortunately. He's been a frequent member of the Hoop cash teams. And just like Wiggins, the results have been less than desirable.
What about LMA, Tony? 7K on him. Again, maybe not as much upside into Porzingis, but I definitely like him better than Millsap tonight. Again, not a high total, but this guy, isn't he from Dallas, I want to say?
I just like Aldridge and Kawhi. I just don't play them. Like, I just don't play Spurs in general for the most. The only time I play a Spurs is when they sit everyone and you can play those cheap guys. I'm too much of a box score guy to play these guys. Like, I click on them and they just literally never hit value for you. So it's just tough for me to pull the trigger on them.
I don't mind the price on him. I think he's pretty steady. Like I said, I'm high on San Antonio here tonight. But the back end of a back-to-back does kind of worry you. But as I talked to Hoop a little bit before the game, they bailed on that game a little early last night. 3.5 minutes to go down 15, and they pull the starter. So, you know, we'll see exactly what Pop decides to do in that one. Hopefully we get some news early in the day.
That's almost 10 points lower than any other game almost.
That's true.
That's ugly. That's not a DB special.
I'm a sucker for LMA, though. I mean, like,
you like not ever hitting value?
I mean, 33, 39, 41, 37. I mean, you're not going to take 39, 41, 37 for 7K.
Yeah, those are only three times all year he's hit value. He's just named his only three good games.
Well, those are in the last week, so.
Yeah, the guy was 22 and the 28 in the last week.
The guy was great last year. Like, suddenly, has Pau Gasol changed everything for him? 7K isn't a heavy price tag on him. That's all I'm saying. Who do you prefer in that range?
I'm a Porzingis guy.
I'm fine with Porzingis. I'll take him over LMA for $5.
Porzingis is just so good. Do you think Melo realizes how much better Porzingis is than him?
No.
Like, Porzingis, you watch it, and Porzingis will be, like, dominating for long stretches, and then you'll see Melo go ISO from the mid-range and just, like, jack something up, and it's just – it blows your mind.
Tony, Jokic, is he back in our lives?
I love what I've seen from Jokic. He's finally been getting it going, but he's got a tough one tonight against Miami if Whiteside's in there, and I still like him, though. I mean, 4,800, the minutes haven't been great, but he finally played 31 minutes the other day. He's been at value basically six straight games now, which is good to see for him when he hasn't been getting great minutes. But you do look, the last two games, 29 minutes and 31 minutes. So if you told me he's going to get 30 minutes tonight, he's a stone lock for me, even in a tough matchup.
Well, yeah, I think the one thing that's key here is the fact, like, a week ago, a coach came out and said, basically, we need to get this guy more minutes. And you look at the trend, it goes from 18 to 23 to 29 to 31. You know, a lot of times we don't like to listen or believe coach talk or coach speak, but this is a situation where the talk – was actually backed up. So minutes trending in the right direction. If he's a guy that's going to play 30 minutes, I don't care about the matchup. 4.8K is just way too cheap.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely am on board with that. Let's see. They actually moved Alex Len back to power forward, I believe, on FanDuel. He's at 5,100, but his minutes, again, kind of in flux. But looks like double actually didn't get double digits in points the last two games, but four straight with 10-plus rebounds, but not really great necessarily value there in Alex Len today. But I got to keep your eye on maybe Jamichael Green if Zebo's out. Anybody? Anyone? No?
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I like Green. I mean, 4.4K is a good price tag. He bombed last game, right? But still got 28 minutes. So, I mean, I think we can kind of throw that one out the window. I think safe bet to probably play 30 minutes at least. I think 28 for the minutes, probably about the floor there with all those guys out. So I like him a lot at 4.4K.
I'd say Jokic over Green. What do you say?
I mean, just the minutes are just so volatile with Jokic. If I know Jokic is playing those minutes, it's him. But I just don't know if he is.
Yeah, I like Jokic better for sure.
Yeah, it's just Green, even if you guarantee him, he's just not that good of a player.
He's got a tough matchup, too. I mean, at Toronto, it's a pretty tough spot.
Yeah, Memphis, man, they are a train wreck right now. All right, let's get to the center spot. And, Tony, I do like some guys out there in Portland and in Indiana. I actually think – I'll tell you what. You know, I can't believe I like Plumlee because everything kind of about this guy's game I don't usually love. But he's finally starting to get some minutes here, boys. You look at this one, last two games for him, 32 and 33 minutes, and we're talking 30, 41 fantasy points. We're starting to see some consistency there, Hoop. At 5,800 today, I'm interested in, especially for some tournaments, but I'm interested in him today at 58. He's good value.
I'm interested in cash games as well, not only just tournaments. I mean, the minutes have been there, like you said, and, like, their offense is kind of going through him a little bit, which is weird to say. I mean, you look at the assists. I mean, there's – in the last seven games, there's been four occasions where he's had at least seven assists.
Who'd they play the last two games when he did good?
Houston, New Orleans, and you go back a couple – yeah.
Houston, I was just checking on that.
And those are the kind of a tempo.
That's fine, but then you go back to Cleveland, game right before that, he puts up 30 fantasy points. So, I mean, he's doing it against not – I mean, obviously Houston and New Orleans, terrible teams, but he's getting it done.
Look at his other plus 30 game. Who did he play in that game?
He had two of against New Orleans plus 30, one against Sacramento over 30, and then
– He had some stiff competition.
So you're implying now that the Pacers are stiff competition, correct?
I mean, I think Miles Turner is one of the best defensive bigs in the league.
Really? All right.
You don't think Miles Turner's good at defense?
I think he can block shots. That doesn't mean he's
Andre Drummond can block shots too, and he's
so does DeAndre Jordan, defensive player of the year, my ass. Like he can block shots.
Jordan's not good at defense.
No, he is a terrible on ball defender. He is. He's great.
Terrible coming weeks on the ball defender.
He's a really bad on the ball defender. You think DeAndre Jordan's a good on the ball defender?
I think you guys are on drugs.
Wow. I know it's early for you, T. I know you're usually sleeping.
I mean, obviously people agree with me. He won defensive player of the year. Like,
yeah, just because a guy blocks shots doesn't mean like.
Do you guys watch the games?
No, I've never watched him.
I don't think DeAndre Jordan is good at defense. Who's taking advantage of DeAndre Jordan?
Exactly the same situation as Ben Wallace when he was with the Pistons. Blocked all the shots.
Ben Wallace wasn't a good defender?
Absolutely. No. On the ball defender, absolutely not. On the ball defender, he's brutal. Same as DeAndre Jordan. Brutal on the ball defender. Sticking by that one for sure.
I'm on Team Hoop.
Who's a good defender to you guys?
I don't know. Find someone eventually.
Nobody? Like, is anybody good?
Marc Gasol, there you go.
What, the one good defender in the league?
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't block shots.
Just because he can't.
Tyson Chandler, back in his early days?
Yeah, he was a good defender.
All right. Well, let's just keep going here. I'm fine with – and I don't think Miles Turner on the opposite side at 6,400 is that bad. When you take Paul George out of the mix, he kind of got off to a hot start this season, and then last couple games, or then for like a couple weeks, kind of took a step back. But look at the last five games for him, 36, 35, 27, 30, 32, 30. He's back being consistent again at 64. So, but then we also have Joel Embiid on the docket today. FanDuel's finally got him over 6K. So let's kind of rank him here. Embiid, because I'm looking at all these guys in the same price range. Embiid, Plumlee, and Miles Turner. How do you rank them today, Tony?
I would probably rank them – for cash games, I'd rank them probably Embiid 1, Turner 2, Plumlee 3. For tournaments, I'd probably rank them Turner, Plumlee, Embiid. So I'd probably put Embiid first for cash and third for tournament, which sounds weird, but I think his floor is super high, and I think his ceiling is not super high. So
I kind of agree with you. Tell you, what about you, Hoop?
For cash, I'll go Plumlee, Embiid, and then Turner. But I think Turner's probably the best for tournaments. I think he'll be the lowest out of the three in terms of ownership.
Yeah, and he's got monster upside too. Yeah. Look at one thing. We're getting back, circling back to Plumlee. These assist numbers for him are crazy. Yeah. It's kind of like it's almost like Avery Bradley rebound numbers: 7, 8, 7, 7, 7. I mean, I can see a guy getting like 3 to 5, but when you get over 5, that's interesting to me.
He's doing it consistently too. Yeah. He's getting the ball at the top of the key, and he's a good passer. I think Tony would have to agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that at all. Every one of his good games is against a terrible team.
Pelicans have been playing better lately.
Well, good thing he plays another terrible team today.
Osick's sweet on defense.
Yeah, he's not bad. Probably better on the ball defender than DeAndre Jordan.
Okay, Tony. Well, who do you like at center tonight?
I like two of those three guys you were just talking about. I mean, I like both those. I mean, cheaper, I like Robin Lopez, even though it's a weird matchup versus the Lakers. I mean, he's been pretty solid. I mean, for me, it's just that range, really. I'm probably playing Embiid or Turner or go up to a guy like Boogie or Whiteside. I mean, I love Boogie. He's been crushing. Gets a great matchup versus Philly on the road, so it should stay close with how bad Sacramento's been. I would assume it wouldn't be a blowout. So I like Boogie, Whiteside, and then the two we just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, Whiteside should crush against Denver. Those guys can't play.
This is off the top of my head completely, but I think some of his best games have been against Denver, like 10-block games, and I haven't looked it up, but I'm almost positive he's just completely crushed Denver.
Yeah, let me take a look here. I got the old stat muse up right now. Game log versus Denver. Let's see what we got here in terms of his production.
Bigs are just killing Denver this season all around, so I agree. I like Whiteside a ton here.
And then, obviously, Cousins, everybody's kind of fine with him. Let's see. Here we go. Whiteside, yeah, he had an 11-block performance against them last January. Went 19, 17, and 11 that day.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Last game out, 18 and 10 in 31 minutes. That wasn't a great game, only one block. But he's fine. Like, assuming he plays here tonight, he should be money against that interior. Center's interesting. If I'm playing DraftKings, I'm not against playing a couple of centers potentially. What do we think of Drummond tonight? I mean, he got ejected. I know you Hoop hates him. But yeah. Boston can't rebound. Like, even when Horford's there, he's a sucky rebounder himself. I don't hate Drummond. Don't hate him.
I'd play Plumlee over Drummond.
Ooh.
Yes, finally. We can agree. You don't want to ask me. You know my response. I hate Drummond.
Yeah, I think he's a fine tournament. Do you like him better?
You guys are the opposites, though. Like, you love Drummond and he hates Drummond.
I hate
but
Drummond.
I don't want to love Drummond anymore. Like, I did when he first came into the league, but now it's kind of like I don't like cheering for bad basketball players. Like, I watch Rondo play, and I know, like, Drew Dinkmeyer, like, probably cringes watching him play, but he's, like, fun to watch. Like, I think he's actually, you know, he gets the concepts of basketball, and, you know, he's a unique player. Drummond is – there's nothing about him that screams, like, uniqueness or exciting to watch play.
He doesn't even like take it serious either. Like yeah. He's always joking. I can't get the image of him. Like I went to a game a little early one time, and he's just jacking like full court shots instead of working on his free throws or whatever, his hook shot or anything. Basically, he's laughing. Last night he gets kicked out, and he's laughing. Like he's just a whatever.
He could get run tonight, though. I'll put him at like 5% if I'm multi-entering tonight. Marc Gasol is the last one. Any chance he gets a pickup because of everybody who's out there, Hoop? I mean, Toronto, not an ideal matchup, but 7K and 7,100 on DraftKings, it's still pretty reasonable for a guy who, you know, if he got you 45 fantasy points, I don't think anybody would, like, be shocked by that.
I think, like, in a different matchup, he'd probably be super popular today. A lot of people would probably be flocking to him. This is arguably one of the worst spots, you know, on the road in Toronto. I think he's still viable at 7K. But like I said, in a better matchup at home, I think he's a popular, you know, and more trustworthy type play.
I'm going to look real quick in these matchups against Toronto, because the one thing about Valanciunas, he's not a guy who I think, you know, Gasol kind of plays on the perimeter. That's not where Valanciunas goes. And they have it looks like he got hurt last year, so they didn't match up too much. But last two games, 43 and 45 fantasy points, 22 and 12, 4 and 2, and 26 and 7 and 5. So done pretty well against Toronto last couple of times out. So I don't hate him today for 7K. Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts here, Tony? What do you got for us tonight?
No, it looks like a fun slate, like always. I mean, we do these pods usually on Wednesday or in Friday with you, and we get such good slates with so many games, so many options that, yeah, just like always, there's tons of different directions. Like we saw last night, even on a shorter slate, like you said, you could have gone the stars route or the route with no stars, and that's what I love about NBA. Like, yeah. There's so many ways you can go to get to the end point. I mean, there's never a 100% for sure way to go. Like in baseball, like sometimes there's one pitcher you have to play and everyone plays him. And basketball, like we saw last night, Anthony Davis goes for 75, Giannis goes for 70 or whatever. You don't have either one of them and you had a huge night. So I love that about hoops.
I got one off the radar question for you guys, because we're both family men, or we're all family men. We all are homeowners. Where do you come out on Christmas lights? Are you one that puts those up or not? I want to start with you, Hoop.
Well, Monday morning I got the job done here at the old Petter residence. Got the lights up. Got a big 6-foot snowman from Costco all set up in the front yard with about 100 LED lights. So I'm locked and loaded over here.
How about you, T?
Yeah, I'm on the Christmas lights wagon too. This is my first year, obviously, so Hoop's ahead of the game, or my first year at the new house. So I actually threw away all my lights when we moved just because we had so much stuff and they were a little older. So this might be, I haven't for sure dove in yet, but it could be the first year I don't do it, or I still could do it. It just depends on with these live finals. There's not a ton of time unless I get it done this week.
Tony, you bink a live final. Just pay somebody to go freaking
well,
do it for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean, after that gets shipped, I mean, the lights are – there's going to be someone getting a little contract out for those lights.
I'll tell you what I did, and I'm almost embarrassed admitting this.
Did you get the light, the projector that shoots it on the house?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I went with the projector, which is like the laziest thing to do in the world. But you look at it, and it looks all right.
I think it actually looks
good.
And it's
so freaking easy. You plug it in, you unplug it, you put it in the box, and you're done.
Here's my question on that. My one concern on that was, do they shine through, like, your windows and stuff too?
That is the kind of tricky things. They do. So, like, I'll be sitting there in the middle, like, watching basketball, and then suddenly I see, like, this twinkling star. Like, I think, like, I got a concussion or something because out of the corner of my eye, I see this little twinkling star. And I'm like, what the – oh, that's right. It's the laser lights. But in terms of, like, convenience, you can't beat it. Now, my problem is I'm on, like, a corner lot here. So I got to get, like, four of them to fill up, like, both sides of the house. So – but I think of it this way. I might spend, like, I don't know, $150 or $200 – I will never have to buy lights ever again, and it takes me literally 2 minutes to put up and take down. And let's face it, enjoying lights is a great thing, but putting them up sucks, and taking them down is infinitely worse. So
taking them down is by far the worst. I don't actually mind putting them up. Like, you're in the holiday spirit a little bit, you're excited. But when you got to go out there in the beginning of January to take them down, that is not fun.
Yeah. Brutal. So I'm freaking lazy when it comes to this thing, but or I can just say I'm really busy and I didn't have time to it.
Yeah. There
we go. But that's going to wrap us up for today. As always, we want to thank you guys for joining us, and thanks to Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, proudly supports this podcast. And if you haven't checked out Rocket Mortgage yet, well, guess what? It's time to take that mortgage approval process into the 21st century, and they've done that over there. It's completely online. And all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage are now out of the equation. So no more searching through stacks of old files and paperwork. Rocket Mortgage can get you approved in minutes. Very simple. You can send them any sort of the bank statements or pay stubs that you need at a touch of a button. And even better, Rocket Mortgage, you can do it all on your phone or your tablet. Quick, easy, online. So give them a look. I know you might not need a mortgage today, but at some point you do. Check out Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. So if you want to refinance, they can take care of you with that as well. Check them out. QuickenLoans.com. /Roto. QuickenLoans.com/Roto. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030. Check out FanDuel again tonight. Great tournaments all across the industry. I'll be back on the podcast again tomorrow. For my boys, Hoop and Big T, I'm Dan. Enjoy your Wednesday night in DFS. We will see you.